Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I have someone I'm anxious to get on. He's been on before. He's really a knowledgeable guy. And his whole department, they're like the best kept secret of the war for what they do for the city to protect all of us. And it's Andy Canby. He's the director of the public health department here in Pittsfield. And Andy, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. It's been a while, so good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see you. I've been watching some of the shows, catching up, but it's been hard to keep up. But thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and thanks for doing this, and thank you and your whole staff for all you do for us. It really is. I don't think people understand, fully grasp how important the Board of Health is, or not the Board of Health, but the Health Department and the Board of Health.
We work together. And yeah, you're right. You know, that's kind of what we've been working on these past couple of years, is getting our face out there, because there's a lot of people that have not met us yet or haven't gotten a chance to interact. So that's kind of what we work on.
Well, you're doing a good job, in my opinion. And
Thank you.
Let me say this before we all get in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the Mayor's Office, Peter White in the City Council, and or the people riding their bicycles on these fine wintry mornings. A lot going on. I have respiratory issues.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could give us a 30,000-foot overview. I know you guys are really involved with this stuff, so...
Right. So, yes, respiratory season, we're very deep in it right now, being the winter. But this goes all the way up to May. You know, it starts around late August, and then we build it up. And winter is really when we feel it. You know, everyone in all our residents, they get some type of illness, whether it be a mild cold. But it is that season that we're deep in. So, yeah, we're behind the scenes at all times. You know, we start off, we're always doing surveillance of communicable diseases. So when someone goes to the urgent care or the hospital and they actually do get diagnosed with the influenza or RSV or COVID, we get that notification so that we can kind of keep track of that behind the scenes, seeing what's going on. In our health department, you know, our focus has been vaccination this past year. It's been working with the ARPA funds. So, you know, I want to talk about that. But, you know, there's a lot of collaboration and there's a lot of other groups that are doing this throughout the county. So we have the Berkshire Public Health Alliance, and then we have the Southern Berkshire Collaborative as well. So essentially all the towns and the two cities and the county are covered.
Cool.
These individuals, these staff are committed to providing vaccinations. We have our getvaccinatedberkshires.org website that's live constantly, where you can find that resource.
And you use the senior center a lot too.
We're at the senior center. So yeah, I can dive into that project if you would like.
I would, because mm-hmm. you know, I keep hearing, and yeah, hopefully you'll appreciate this. I keep hearing, well, we're an aging city. I know I'm part of the aging. You know? I mean, just look at me. I'm not. But there's the senior center and what you guys do there. I want more people to be aware of. It's at the senior center. The Board of Health goes there.
Right. We man up there. We stand. We hold our station there, and we have our great public health nurse, our community health worker, and our social worker, they're available. So that's the first Tuesdays of each month. And then we increase it as needed. But back to the vaccine program that we've done this past summer was with the ARPA grants. So what we originally thought was that we were going to tackle what we thought was vaccine hesitancy. What we learned is that there really wasn't much of a hesitation, but it was more of an accessibility and a building relationships, having that trust from our residents.
Sure.
So it was great to, so we did some focus groups, and then using those ARPA funds, we were able to build purchase a lot of vaccine, COVID and flu,
Good.
And work with local banks and local food trucks to bring a overall good experience on getting your flu shot or your COVID shot. So we increased our numbers. We doubled it from what we've done in the previous years. We were very fortunate to connect with a new population, whether, like I said, it was the target of our population was the Hispanic population, but also new residents. So we were able to connect with a lot of new residents that we had not met before in our city. And so the feedback was great. You know, everybody was happy. They were not, there wasn't, like I said, that hesitation, but it was more of, we did not know the health department was here for this. And we used our mobile unit truck. So
cool.
Yeah, it was really great. You know, it was really great to connect with the residents and meet them out on out throughout the city and provide them with the vaccination, but then also, you know, have that little side conversation because everyone was willing to open up about what was going on in their lives as they were getting their shot.
Yeah, you know, and I think that why I like doing programs with the city departments is people hear, well, the health department, oh, what do they do? You know, and you are a very, very, very active department. I had Gina, I used to have Gina on like four times a year because it's always changing.
It know? Always is. Yep. The focus always is. And we have great staff to feel that motivation as well.
Yeah. And with this respiratory and all this stuff, the recommendations are like RSV, that seems to, we've heard of a lot of our friends who have had it. And when asked, did you get the, I didn't get the shot. Well, if I'm old, I get all the shots.
Right.
I mean, I don't take any chances.
Right. No, it definitely is about, you know, getting vaccinated, but also about that hygiene, making sure that you're washing your hands. You know, as small of a task as it is, it's important. It's important for you also to, you know, if be aware if you're sick or if you have family members that are sick or friends that are sick, take that week off from visiting them or, you know, interacting with them. Because again, that week will cause a domino effect of who else continues to get sick from you. So, you know, taking that time to acknowledge that you're sick, getting rest, drinking plenty of fluids, and just, you know, it'll go through your system. But again, those are the things that everybody can do to help our local area. You know, we not only does it impact the hospitals, the nursing homes, it impacts the jobs as well. So, you know, small steps that everybody can do has a great impact.
Sure. Yeah. And what are you seeing now happening currently locally?
So, you know, yeah, you know, we do have the hospitals that are at a mandate of masking as well as our local nursing homes. And that's a policy that they can take because, again, that's they feel that it's appropriate because there are a lot of visits to the hospital sites that are have that respiratory illness. So we are seeing that increase with the visits to that.
And again, what I like and what I think the people out there should be very, very happy to hear is that they've a network to include hospitals and nursing homes, feeding back information to them, to the health department so that they're on the cutting edge.
Right.
You know, you're not catching up. You're part of the mix now. That I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. No, like I said, for like Berkshire County, you know, for instance, we had about a 6% increase in the past week.
Wow.
So again, because of those acute respiratory illnesses. So that's why that hospital and the nursing homes, they take those actions because, you know, I know that sometimes it's perceived negative as, oh, here we're back to masking. But you know what? It's for a reason. These the data indicates that that's where we're at right now, and we'll move through it and we'll come back to spring and then summer again. So,
Ben Franklin or somebody said this. I don't know. A prevention cuts the head off of bad luck. And I think that's true. If we're why I had Andy and he, thank you for agreeing to come on to talk about this stuff, because truly a lot of what we are seeing or might see can be prevented with precautions.
Right, right. The severity of it, the actual contraction of it, you know, those are the, like we mentioned, those are the small tasks that everybody can do in their own day to day to reduce, keep those numbers low.
I have to just ask this. When I, in a former life, I dealt with violent youthful offenders, and their pediatrician was the emergency room. And this was a game that they played, their term, not mine. They didn't always get their shots, but they'd go to school. And when they start pushing to get, for the shot record, for the nurse or whatever, they change schools and the process would start all over. What do you guys have in power? In place to, you check out all the schools and shots and all that, right? Immunizations.
The schools have their own nursing department, so they have their own nurses, yeah. And so they do have in-house. But we do collaborate, because again, if we're following up with a resident that's a parent, and then that family is sick, so we do let the schools know, so we're in communication. But they have their school nurses.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you have collaboration between. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about some folks coming in under? I don't like this word, but it's the word. Let's put new people coming in from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys monitoring that? Because that was a question that came up to me the other day.
For sure, for sure. I mean, we have we always have our social worker, our community health worker out there with connections to agencies that work with our new arrivals or even new residents from other states that, you know, are not used to the medical system here in Massachusetts. So anybody that's new, you know, there's some type of connection that we have that we can then make sure that they are getting their vaccinations, you know, just either for their schools to attend or even some of their jobs that might be requiring them to do so. So we have a handle on it. Mm-hmm.
That, folks, if you're listening out there, please, please, and listen to what they have a network. And I want that, I guess my goal behind this program, Andy, is to show that you're on top of it through, you're just not an isolated place in City Hall.
Right. Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, they're out and about. They're out and about.
It's a lot of out and about and a lot of collaboration, a lot of communication. We wouldn't be able to work alone. To serve all the residents that we have in the city, we cannot work as one individual agency. It's really those arms that we have, those roads, those paths that we can figure out what's going on.
Yeah. What's the most challenging thing for the health department currently? That, from my experience, that can change in a heartbeat.
I think our most challenging thing is just, doing a expansion. You know, I think we're very motivated, but again, we also have to make sure that we use our resources appropriately. And, as much as we would want to do, you know, grow to a staffing of 30 people, it has to be small steps. So, and that's what we've been doing. So I think that's kind of what we have within our department, saying that we're ready to do everything, but you know what? We have to slow pace ourselves.
Yeah, well, you have capacity, and you only have so much capacity.
Right.
Now, going back now to the old public health, you check all the eating establishments in the city. Is that still correct?
Correct. We check every establishment. We're required to do twice a year. But if we have establishments that might be struggling, we make sure that we visit them three times quarterly. So we amp it up, and we walk them through getting back into compliance. Yes, we've had to shut down some establishments. Again, giving them that opportunity to learn from it and reopen again. But that's definitely one of our core work that we do is the inspection services.
And a credit to you and your colleagues. You do help people correct. You're not a hammer. You're a teacher.
No, we're not. We're not. We definitely we have the capacity to do that if we need to. But that's not, you know, you. We found out that, you know, that doesn't always work with everybody. And so
it's kind of a last resort.
It's a last resort. And also if it's a severity issue, obviously, you know, our inspectors and myself, we have to analyze it. Is this a situation where there's going to be a grave danger to everybody? Of course, we'll be very serious and right to it. Is this a situation that we can work through with time? Yeah. And obviously, each approach is different.
Now, a question, I've got a couple of questions. Well, I keep looking down to people when I tell them having the health department. Do you inspect like the butcher shops and stuff like that in supermarkets too?
Yep, we do that as well. Each of those sections have their own permit at a supermarket. So because each section we consider their own establishment, so each of them has to have a manager has a certification on food safety, allergy awareness as well. So it's not just one person's in charge of the whole super. I mean, there is obviously a general manager, but obviously each establishment, each small little section has their role and responsibility.
So for the people again listening and viewing this, this kind of a fun program, but an educational program. And I know some of you, and I've been talking in the town, you came up, I put them in my phone is why I keep looking down, because if I put them on paper, I'd never find them. The health department is, in my opinion, as crucial to the city as the police and fire. I believe that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the health and wellness of the city is a lot of it is on your shoulders.
It is. And you know, that's why we have to take this role very seriously. And so that's what we do. And understanding the impact that my role has, that the department has, you know, it's definitely that's the environment that we carry around us.
Andy, let's go back to the senior center, because again, we are an aging community and a lot of people go there. And I would like to have a lot more people go there. I have peers my age. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's for old people. Dude, we are old. You know. So they built it for us.
Yeah.
Your involvement there, like you go the first Tuesday of the month, is that correct?
Right, correct.
Right.
Yeah, we do wellness, and they, you know, we routinely have done blood pressure checks, prescription checks. And then any other necessity as far as accessing resources, connecting them with fueling assistance or rental assistance. So our social worker, community health worker, they do that. They help out for applications process applications. So, and you know, I'm pretty sure, not sure if you're aware about, there is a new director for the senior center. So
yeah, I knew. Jim has moved over to veteran. I haven't.
Yeah, he was there. Yep. So I'm excited to meet with this new individual. I'm going to meet with her next month, and you know, it's great when we get new people starting that position, because they have new ideas that we haven't thought of, or they come from a different background that, you know, that has new ideas. So I'm excited to do that.
And a compliment to you guys. You're pretty active, assertive, not aggressive, active and assertive. public health department. You get out there and do, you don't, I think you kind of, you try to get ahead of the curve. That's my take, my read on this public. I've been all over the world and I've seen,
yeah,
so there's a crisis. They don't move, you know?
Right. No, we definitely have our pulse on everything. And, you know, we have our new roles, whether it be the, you know, dealing with the new trash rollout, you know, we have a role in that.
Well, that was exciting the other night, huh? It was like watching paint dry.
And then we have the sidewalk maintenance as well, making sure those sidewalks are clear for our residents that are walking by throughout the city. And so, you know, it's definitely being a proactive approach to that.
Going back to I don't want to hash this again. The trash situation, you know, I drive around and I think it's going pretty good. I mean, I do see some with the, you know, way the cover's way up and garbage bags next to the things. But all in all, I think people are really trying. I mean, we've noticed it, the recycling and all that in our own home.
Right. Yeah. As the numbers were reported, we saw the increase. And visually, you know, I go out there myself, drive around, and I appreciate how the residents adapted to this.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, I think it's a uniform look. It looks very, you know, straight. As you look down the street, you just see those blue toters and with the other ones with the black lids, and I appreciate it. You know, I'm like, wow, it makes me happy to see the city look like that. And so it's definitely been a good rollout, I would say. Better than I expected, to be honest. And so I'm thankful for the residents that said, you know what, let's work through these. And right now, yeah, we do have our problem areas that we're going to be addressing. You know, we've given enough opportunity for people to get used to the change of behavior of putting out the trash just unlimited. So now it's going to be going through that and working through those difficult.
And I have to take my hat off to Casella. I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. Nobody's perfect, but they're at least willing to accept and make changes to their operation to correct any of their issues. I listened the other night going down these narrow streets, and this will get me in trouble, but that's pretty much a daily thing. The city now has to start looking around at parking on one side or the other of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe alternate parking or something. Because, I mean, I live in the Southeast, and there's some real narrow streets. And when you have parking on both sides, the drivers of those trucks, they're like magicians. I mean, how they get that arm in there, pick it up, dump it, put it back. I mean, I take my hat off to Casella, and I was totally impressed with the two gentlemen at Casella answering the question. They, not excuses. We'll look at it. We'll try to fix it, but we may need your help.
Right. Understanding that, you know, mistakes happen and you know, it's a complete new delivery system. I think they did a great job. You know, thinking about the bigger picture, they had to change everybody's toter system. You know, they had to deliver.
Yeah.
Keep track of it. You know, it wasn't a small task to do. So definitely they did a great job. And of course, like I said, they're with such a big project comes certain mistakes that are being corrected.
Yeah. And they're open to correcting. Mm-hmm. They're not excusing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've been in the business long enough. Somebody gets 25 excuses and all they have to really do is put a new faucet in.
Right.
So as we get to heading towards the break a little bit, what's been the most you took over from Gina?
Mm-hmm.
What's been the most challenging for you personally? Because you're a good guy.
I think the most challenging I think has been probably just being able to address everyone's request. I think there's a lot of issues out there that, you know, immediately people look to the health department to address, and you know, sometimes it doesn't fall under our immediate scope. So, you know, I would hate to just be a disappointment to them, but I think finding them the other resources that are available, but just that has been a challenge where, you know, dealing with certain topics that, you know, if I don't have a overall sense of it or an overall attach or role to it, it's just finding that alternative resource for that.
Yeah, and you know, public health is dynamic too. It's not stagnant. It's always changing.
COVID, it definitely has been. You know, there's a lot of things that have come to the view that becomes a public health issue that we did not consider before, you know. And so that's what I mean. It's just like, you know, you hear, like, you know, racism is a public health issue. And so understanding to grasp that, understanding to say, okay, how can I learn and adapt to address that, you know, where we see different communities make those statements, and you sit back and you think, okay, it does impact everybody. And so that's exactly what I mean. Is public health, there's always something that can relate to the well-being of an individual.
Yeah. And I think too, people need to understand there's laws and codes at the state level. There's ordinances and stuff at the city level that you're responsible to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot, but I don't think always people fully grasp, and that's not a negative thing. They just don't, you know, that's why I do these programs. You know, when I got on the radio, I said, I want to be educational, informational, have a few laughs along the way. But public health is really just that. They're overseeing the health of this public, our city.
Right. And understanding, you know, the new emerging issues, you know, that's really, as you mentioned, that even our leaders, such as myself, haven't grasped onto it yet. And so what do we do in those sense? We get educated. We find resources, learning opportunities to learn to grasp it. And we never... Something that I learned is to say, oh, I know how it feels to be because I've been in, or I don't know how it feels because I haven't been in your shoes.
Right.
I don't think that's really appropriate anymore. I think it's more to say, like, you know, not to put it off, but just say, like, hey, let me try to get educated behind it. Let me try to educate it behind it so that I can learn how to respond to you.
Yeah, and I think that's a great philosophy, and I mean, the city's kind of fortunate to have you at the head of this. I got a little bit of a background in public health, but nothing like yours. But my study in public health was mostly violence and mediation and the right. Everybody has a right to have good health.
Mm-hmm.
In this country and everywhere, but I've been around the world a few times, and not every place has a public health department.
Right. No, we're very fortunate that a lot of the resources are put out to that. Like you mentioned, there are very other countries that, you know, even as the drinking water is not safe. So
one of the things I can remember in one of my courses, cleft palate. Correct me if you know I'm saying something wrong, but cleft palate could be eliminated if there were everyone had exposure to vitamin A, so that I guess if I remember correct, but don't go with my memory, I don't remember where I parked the car. So, but you're right. Drinking water is still we are so fortunate in this country.
We are. We really are.
I'm here with Andy Camby today. He's the director of the public health department in the city of Pittsfield. My opinion, for what it's worth, I think they're doing a heck of a job with the resources they have. And the mandates that they have to do are astronomical. And now you throw in COVID and RSV. And why we're doing this program, I think, today is why I wanted to do it. Gracious Andy came on. Is this is respiratory season, respiratory disease season. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Andy to kind of again go over that, because it's a morning program, Andy. So there's people in and out. They don't.
For sure.
And also, you know, pretty soon it's going to be spring. What's that? Pretty soon it's going to be summer. And like when I have Brian Anders on from County Ambulance, each season has its own challenges. You know, in the summer, it's food spoilage. You know, you put your potato salad out at noontime for a picnic, but you don't eat till 3.
Right. You don't think about it, and then you have a foodborne illness, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Been there, done that. So we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7, PCTV, Channel 1301, and we're growing. We just opened an out a station in the southern Berkshires. More to come. I'll get more specifics. There was just a press release. I want to thank the people at WTBR, the staff, Sean Sayers, the board, the advisory board, the school committee, and what almost disappeared, WTBR. A bunch of folks jumped in and saved it. And now we're growing. We are really a voice in the Berkshires. And Andy will help appreciate this. He was on the team, but Gina was it. When COVID hit, we didn't miss a day. We didn't. We had it. Could we use the studio? No. We made alternatives to that, Zoom and all of this. So, while is me Irish mother would say, an ill wind blows some good fate. The ill wind was COVID. The good fate was WTBR and PCTV became a voice of information and education. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Precision Brows, specializing in creating flawless microblading that enhances beauty and saves time every day. Find them online at myprecisionpmu.com or call 413-553-1059.
The Berkshire Queer History Project by Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition is an ongoing initiative to document the lived experiences of our community and ensure the preservation of our voices in our voices. Our goal is to collect these stories to form an archive that may be used for future exhibitions, research, or simply as a way to remember our past struggles and triumphs and look towards the future together. For more information, please get in touch with us at berkshirestonewall.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same day.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That good-looking guy, his name is Andy Camby. He's the director of the Pittsfield Department of Public Health. And we're here today. I wanted Andy on specifically today to talk about the current respiratory issues, COVID, long COVID, and all these other things, specifically right now. But I also want to make the citizens of the city aware of all that public health does, and from inspecting, and Andy answered this question early on, how about the meat departments and the fish departments and the supermarkets? People asked me that when I told them I was going to do this show. Well, and yeah, they do inspect those. Yeah.
We do. And they're required to have their own individual permits. The deli department, they have their own permit with us. The sushi department, they got to have their own permit with us. So, and they get inspected twice a year. And if they have issues, we'll be back right back to it to make sure they correct it.
Yeah. And it, excuse me. And it's not punitive. It's protective.
Correct. It's education. It's a lot about learning why these things shouldn't be how they are, what they're doing, and what the grave dangers that can come from even, you know, just as going to the bathroom and not washing your hands right after. You know, that can cause a severe illness to a consumer of the product. And so simple tasks, we focus on making sure that the education behind it is understood and understanding the dangers of not doing it.
And that protects us.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean,
protects myself. You know, yeah. I eat at these establishments. You know, I always get asked, you know, do you not eat in the city? And then I'm like, no, I mean, the goal of the department is to make sure that I am comfortable eating at the establishment. So you'll see me out there at all the establishments. I enjoy just, you know, stopping by, visiting and consuming the food. You know, that's the goal, is to make sure that all the places are accessible and safe.
And they're in people. What do you call them? Inspectors?
We have sanitarians. They're the inspectors that go out and do that.
Yeah. That to me is always kind of, you know, an inspector's coming. They're coming. They're coming. At least from my experience, going back, I go back as far as Lou Bolduc, so that's how old I am. But they were always there to help, and sometimes they had to flex their muscle because the person was pushing back against the help.
Right.
Their job is the health and safety of the public, and they do it well, and they're out there doing it, and that's the point we want to get across. But kind of do an overview of the respiratory stuff that's flying around and the preventions. We covered a little bit in the first half, but
of course, it's very important because we are deep in the respiratory season. It doesn't end until around May, and it doesn't start till around late August. You know, we've even seen some cases early August, but, you know, working with COVID, influenza, we got the RSV as well. So those numbers start to peak in this time frame that we are in right now. It's due to the weather, due to everybody going to work sick and the holidays. So there's a lot of factors that increase those numbers. So, you know, we talked a little bit about what can each responsibility that we have to keep these numbers down, because, again, the large impact is that people might lose work time, kids might miss school, and, you know, so it has a big impact. And then also the hospitals and our nursing homes, making sure they're kept safe because, you know, people that are there are already not not there to, you know, in good shape already.
They're already compromised.
Yeah, right. So it's you know, showing up there, you know, with illnesses that we can do something about to prevent or lessen. Is helping out that the greater community. So we talked about, obviously, the first and foremost is that hygiene, you know, making sure that we're taking that extra time to wash your hands. And you know, myself included, you know, taking those extra seconds to rub rigorously and make sure that our hands are clean from, you know, top to bottom all the way up to, you know, your elbow, you know, making sure, because the hand-to-mouth stuff, we don't recognize it, but we do it a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's how those viruses are getting in. And so we want to make sure that we're using some good hygiene procedures. And then also staying home if you're sick. We talked about how, you know, you can take that time to miss meeting up with your friend that weekend if you're sick or with a family member. Because the greater impact is that now you're going to create a domino effect if you get them sick. So, you know, stay home if you're sick, drink plenty of fluids, take, you know, all the necessary things to get back better, because you will go through that. You will virus, the virus will shed through your body and you'll get better. And so taking that opportunity to let your body fight the virus and heal, because that's what it will do. You know, you'll feel fatigued, you'll feel tired, but drinking plenty of fluids, you'll be able to, and any medicine that's also required, you'll be able to get back on your feet. And then lastly, the most important thing as well that we consider is getting vaccinated. You know, even right now, it's still not late, too late to get vaccinated. Vaccinations should start early October, late October, depending on if how compromised you are. You know, we at the health department, we provide that higher dose flu vaccine that are for the 65 and older. And we also have a regular standard flu vaccine that has been available to residents. And we also do homebound residents. So we go out, our public health nurse goes out with our community health worker, and we visit you at home within the city limits and give you those shots, COVID and flu. So, you know, our season starts, I guess our planning starts around June, implementation starts around August, and we are straight out giving vaccinations. And even right now, currently, as we are in January, we will still go out and do that for you.
Wow. Well, and again, you know, everybody complains about their taxes. I don't like to pay taxes either. I used to have a fixed income. Now it's shrinking. This is part of our taxes. Just as and I said this in the first half, there is, in my opinion, the health department is as important as the police and the fire and the ambulance, because they're active, they're preventive, they're responsive, all these words. And sometimes when you hear, you know, you watch these budget hearings or whatever, and I don't mean this to be insulting to anybody, but sometimes I'm not sure that all the public officials fully, that's the operative word, understand the scope of public health.
Right. I mean, their priorities might be different, and you know, we have to respect that. And
yes,
but yeah, our resources are for this, so we definitely have increased that line item to be able to provide vaccinations directly to the residents.
Sure.
And something that I'll say, and you know, to shout out the partners that we have here at the health department. So we have the Berkshire Public Health Alliance.
Yeah.
We have the Southern Berkshire Public Health Collaborative, and they have great vaccination programs. And what it is that something that I'll say is that, like, we can get our vaccinations at the pharmacies and the supermarkets, like a Walgreens, and that's great, and I appreciate them. But if you do it locally, as you say, shop local, if you have insurance that will process, we'll get reimbursed, and then we'll continue to use that to provide more services for you.
Yeah.
So that's something that, like I said, we think shop locally, but then also you can get vaccinated locally, because not only will you meet the staff that is in your small town or bigger city, you'll get to connect with them and meet them and maybe find other resources. But then you'll also get that service of your vaccination, and all that information, those records are all uploaded to a system that's accessible. So, wow. You know, I love our pharmacies. I love the supermarkets, and what, you know, it's great to go for them for your medication resources. But, you know, as far as vaccination, definitely look into, you know, our CHPs, our Berkshire Public Health Alliance, our Southern Berkshire Health Collaborative.
Yeah, and again, that's a point, Andy, I didn't even know. So, we all learn something when I have people like Andy on about all. Before I forget again, there's also a stomach bug that seems to be going around. from a lot of people I know have caught it. And I think Andy just gave us one of the best ways to not catch it.
Right.
Exactly. Thoroughly wash your hands.
Yeah.
Not just let water run on them. Wash.
Yeah. Things like the norovirus, again, staying away from people that are sick, staying home if you're sick, and then that good hygiene practices. You definitely have to step it up when the winter comes, because again, that's when more people are getting sick. And so your exposure rate increases. So again, taking those extra seconds, it has big impacts.
And again, reaching out, our senior center is a haven of a lot of things going on. And Andy and his crew are there, and he'll explain it to you when they're there, what they can do. If you have an issue or go there while they're there. And Andy, if you would run with that, please.
Yeah. So at the senior center on North Street, we do provide wellness clinics. So what that means is that we have our public health nurse staff there, our community health worker, and our social worker. And this happens on the first Tuesday of every month. And we make from 9:30 to 11:30. So we make a effort to be there. We're committed to those. But if we do need to come back and we see a need, we definitely will circle back around. But again, these wellness clinics are a direct service to be provided to you, whether it's something that you want, such as a medication review, some questions that you might have of something that it's not yet to go to urgent care, and maybe you haven't gotten a chance to connect with your primary care physician. It is something that we have staff that have credentials, such as a public health nurse who has a nurse degree and has a nursing license, who would be able to give you that service, that kind of walk you through some questions and answers and see exactly where the next direction would be for you. So that's part of what we do at the senior center.
And again, if you are seniors and, you know, really and truly take advantage, that senior center is a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of socialization. I know I spoke with Jim during COVID, and I don't know how many thousands and thousands of calls they made every day checking on people.
Yeah, checking on people. And then also when it was time to get vaccinated and making those appointments.
Enrolled them. Enrolling them
because it wasn't an easy process. You know, and so, you know, we always have to think outside the box of who can we partner with to fill in those gaps. Each different population that we have, because each population has their own limitations and their own barriers that we have to make sure that we want to address.
Yeah. And, you know, just an aside, the catch group was people, over 65 or over 60 for COVID, right? And enroll in the COVID on your computer to get the COVID shot. Well, first of all, the program would have taken Einstein to figure it out. And how many seniors over 65 are that familiar with the COVID? With computers or even have computers?
Right. And even also being a new vaccination, you know, there's that hesitancy of like, what am I signing up for right now? So having that voice, those people calling on from the staff from there, giving a call and helping them walk through that signing up, that enrolling was definitely crucial and critical for us to be able to do that. So,
You guys deserve a pat on the back too. You were out there. You were very accessible, very knowledgeable, and you were out there. Mm-hmm. And I think you should get a gold star right on your forehead, all of you, for that.
Yeah.
Well, really, it was a trying time for everyone, but especially for people like you in the field.
And you know, and that's the same practices that we practiced then, we continue to practice now with, like we're talking about the respiratory illness. That's the same thing that we're doing, you know. So it's just about always being accessible and giving resources that we can.
Before we go, we got about 6 or 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You made a thing. I didn't even know you guys did this. So how, for shut-ins or whatever, that need vaccinations, or how do they get that?
So Homebound, is that
Homebound,
the one? Yes,
you.
Homebound, yep.
Thank
our Homebound residents in Pittsfield can call us directly at 413-499-9411. And that's our mainline number, and request a visit for a Homebound vaccination, so that we will connect you with, depending on, you know, COVID or flu is what's available right now at the health department. So we'll set up a date and time that's convenient for both parties, and a public health nurse will come to your site, and along with our community health worker, and we'll, you know, have that shot available for you.
And again, they're there for us. They're there to help us and keep us safe. And they inspect the restaurants and the food places and all of this, not in a disciplined or a punitive way, but to help us, to keep us healthy and safe. So when you go into a place and you order a piece of fish from somewhere, you know, one, that's been inspected. For years and years, going back, I said to Lou Bolduc, I have always found the Board of Health, not the Board, the Department of Health, very willing to cooperate and willing to work with people. You know, I watch the Board of Health meetings a lot. But I can remember a situation back many years ago where they were really trying to work with this place, and the place was being so resistant. And they didn't want to be mean. They had a safety issue, you know. And I thought to myself, what is wrong with you? They're trying to help you. They're bending over backwards, and you're just being
stubborn, I guess.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else, but then we'd lose our license.
Yeah. No, it definitely is that. You know, we have that in our tool belt, the authority. But again, we exercise it when necessary and when the outcome, you know, is a grave danger. You know, we want to assess it, and we try to do the education. We try to do the corrective measures. But again, if someone is just stubborn and not willing to see the bigger picture, then of course, you know, it gets to that point. But we try to avoid it.
And Andy and the team are part of the new trash pickup enforcement.
We call it trash patrol, but essentially, yeah, it is citing the personal people. Some people are still using personal toters. Some people are having their trash still outside of their toter system. So we want to make sure that they need to either figure out their recycling still, or if they need to get additional toters, or they need to talk to their landlords to provide them. So that's going to be our focus from our inspectors for the next couple of months. You know, I don't see it happening overnight. It's going to be a lot of discussions and enforcement and fines, unfortunately. But, you know, like we mentioned earlier, we take a look, and the city did a great job implementing this. The residents took this on, and a lot of them just have done a great job. So it's only fair that everyone else jumps on board as well, because there are people that are doing the right thing and having their trash out the right way. Again, making it look like a cleaner city. And then also increasing our recycling. So it's a win-win there. You know, I think people are going to learn as the time goes on other measures to save on trash, whether it be composting or, you know, just not throwing everything away right away and just figuring out, like, you know, do I need that additional speaker? Do I, you know, can I save the speaker or gift it to someone else? So, again, it brings back to the bigger picture of why we're doing this.
And also, do just a quick hit on the sidewalk patrol there.
Yeah, sidewalk snow patrol. So after every storm, we are out there on the main routes, making sure that business owners and landlords and homeowners are clearing out their sidewalks. You know, we focus on the school areas and the heavy traffic areas first. But I think everyone just needs to realize that they need to clear the sidewalk, because there's a lot of people that don't own vehicles, a lot of people that ride other types of transportation, whether it be bikes, even in the winter, they're still out there.
I know, I see them out there.
And it's because that's what they have, and we have to respect that, and we have to make sure that they have that accessibility as well. And people that aren't on, they are walking to work, walking to school, that they have a safe passageway to do so. So, it's a progressive enforcement, but we're out there looking to cite that.
Well, as an old person who can't shovel anymore, I want to thank my two neighbors, Chip and Mike, who take very good care of us with their snowblowers. What do we have? There is something in place for seniors, right, to get help with their shoveling?
I think there's the Snow Angel program from Community Development. Yeah, I'm not sure how well they're doing as far as getting volunteers.
Yeah.
So, I think anyone that's listening should, consider that, being that good neighbor and it's literally probably 20 minutes extra. if you get it right at the storm, that, you're just giving that time to help your neighbor out, whether they have a mobility issue, whether it's age or they might not even be there because they're working all the time. So,
that's a good point.
Being a good neighbor and helping everybody out, it's good.
Andy, I can't thank you enough. Please thank your entire department. At least for this old fat ball guy, really does appreciate all you do. And I think a lot of people do. They just, why I do these shows, and I want you to take this as a threat, but come spring, I'll be reaching out to you again, because that's a whole new can of worms for public health and citizens, stuff they need to know. But what Andy said now, get your vaccinations. Keep those up to date. Wash your hands. I went to Catholic school, and the nuns were nuts with that, washing your hands. But
it sounds minimal, but it has a big impact.
Huge impact. And if you can help your neighbor, like today, I pushed the thing out with a little bit of snow, but I got it out there. But I'm not the kid I used to be, and I thank God for my neighbors, and I mean that sincerely. Liza across the street watches the house, but Andy, I'm always here for you, dude.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You got an announcement you want to get out? Just email it to me, and I'll put it up on the Facebook, and I'll read it at the end. And to my folks that watch this show, be appreciative of this group in the city. Because like I said, I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 77, almost 78, you can repeat yourself. I look at the Board of Health as important to us, to citizens, as the police and fire, for our public safety, for our public health, for keeping our restaurants and all the things that they inspect clean and free of things that hurt us. Andy, thank you again, and get your shovel, and because I'm not sure the city hall has been shot. No, I'm on.
Thank you.
Best to your everybody. I do this, and I mean it, to everybody listening, God bless. And today, try to lift somebody's burden. Try to be a good neighbor. Try to be a good person. And make somebody laugh. Give them a call, see how they're doing. And remember, we're all in this together, in each other. That's all that we have. Think about it. Ha ha ha.